Let's talk more about the Cougars and Jimmer Fredette with our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at JacksonEmery04, former BYU player. It is Jackson Emery. Jackson, what's going on?
Hey, Jackson.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How are things going?
We're doing great. Anytime we get to talk a little Jimmer, we're happy on the show. And again, he's kind of reinserted himself into the American basketball conversation. At least maybe he hasn't done it to himself, but it
he's
sounds
in
like
the Chinese basketball conversation.
He's back in the States now. As you've talked to Jimmer, do you get the impression that he's still looking towards playing in the NBA?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been frequently chatting with Jimmer, you know, every week for the last, you know, 6 months or so. And it's, that's why you went to China. If you take a step back and realize how the Chinese league is set up, it's set up on a shorter season in regards to Europe that goes through May. His season is going to wrap up in a couple weeks, which allows him to possibly sign with an NBA team, as well as it's a scorers league. When you go to Europe, it's not really Jimmer's style of just pass, cut, hard-nosed defense. I mean, Jimmer wants the ball in his hands, and the Chinese league allows him to do that. So both of those things are contributed to him playing in China, and they've played to his advantage at this point, and now we'll see if he gets an opportunity when he comes back to the States in a couple weeks.
73 points, is that a career high for Jimmer at any level?
I don't know. It depends if you take away his video games when you score 80, right? But, yeah, I mean, when I woke up to that, was it Sunday morning, I was amazed at how many points he scored. And more importantly, I think he was 25 of 49, so he still shot above 50%. And that's what's really impressive about Jimmer is he shoots a high percentage regardless of how many points he scores. And that right there should tell NBA scouts and professional teams that he can score.
You know, so much of the conversation around Jimmer is what he didn't become as a lottery pick. What was it like? I mean, just kind of going back, the nostalgia part of it, of going out with Jimmer, playing, and just knowing that, uh-oh, it's Jimmer time. He's taking over, and he's obviously feeling it right now.
Yeah. Obviously, I played with him through when he scored 49 at Arizona, when he scored, I think it was 47 up at the U, and then when he scored 53 against New Mexico. I think the one time that I actually thought, holy, this guy is going off, is when he scored 53 against New Mexico. They had a game plan to let him just do whatever he wanted. They didn't want anyone else to score, so they just let anyone guard him one-on-one. And Jimmer, just three-pointers, driving to the hoop, jump shots. I mean, he was mixing it up, and it was just amazing to just see the ball go in every single time. It was just kind of those flashbacks of NBA Jam of he's on fire. Anything he threw up, it went in.
Now, did you ever have a thought that, you know, maybe in the next, at the next level, the defensive side of Jimmer's game is going to be evaluated? And do you feel like NBA teams are focusing too much on that aspect of Jimmer's game, whether he can or cannot play defense?
Yeah, you know, I was just listening to you a little while ago, Gunther, and I've always compared him to Tim Tebow as well. People are so hard on Tim Tebow that he couldn't throw the ball. He couldn't do that very well, and probably not. Was he a Peyton Manning? No way. But the guy could win games, and he was as big of a competitor as anyone else on the NFL stage. But like you said, he creates a circus around him a little bit, and that's what ended up That's what teams ended up doing is avoiding him because they didn't want that. With Jimmer, you know, is he the best defender? No. Is he the worst defender? No. Is he someone like a Raul Neto that could score points and has a higher ceiling? Probably. But it just depends on your system of play, depends on the style, the guys that buy into you. There's so much that goes into it. And he was never in a situation that played to his advantage. I thought the one situation that would have been great for him was when he signed with the Spurs. And then in between when he signed with them and when he reported for training camp, they decided to go with a bigger guard in a different direction. And it didn't really give him the opportunity, so he was a little bummed with that. But I mean, one thing that Jimmer has shown is resiliency. I mean, the guy continues to play hard, whether it's the D League or in China, to show that he can still play at a high level.
Jackson Emery's our guest, 1320K fan. Jackson, I think looking back at your teams with Jimmer, Brandon Davies, those were mega-talented teams. I look at BYU's roster now with the LP3, Yoeli Childs. This team has a ton of talent and obviously hasn't quite gotten back to the point where you guys were making a run deep into the NCAA tournament. What's been the main issue with why this team hasn't shown that type of promise?
Yeah, you know, first off, I mean, it's a young team, and so you're going to see inconsistency. I've been surprised that they've been inconsistent for the entire season. I thought at one point or another it would drop off, but I think the biggest thing that has been to their weaknesses is just ultimately they haven't been able to play 40 minutes of an entire basketball game. They've played 30 minutes, they've played 35, and those 5-10 minutes that they don't play, they play really bad basketball, and they give up way too many open shots, and they seem to dig themselves a hole really quickly. And then they're playing from 15, 16 behind. And I've played on teams when you go down 15 or 16, and it just seems like it's unreachable. It's a very young team. They've had a lot of injuries. A lot of guys came off missions. So a lot of moving pieces that they haven't been able to put together throughout the year. And hopefully for the long term, they realize how difficult it is, how they need to prepare game in and game out, and they use the rest of these games to improve and then get ready for next year.
How can Yoeli Childs and Eric Meek better learn how to stay out of foul trouble in the latter parts of their career?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing they can do is stop trying to block shots. One guy that I thought did a terrific job, and everyone in Utah will know his name, is Jakob Poeltl. I mean, he was terrific at just going straight up. And Utah did a great job at closing out the shooters and funneling their guys to him using his length and size. But you never saw him really leaving his feet trying to block shots into the stands. He was a very smart player, as well as DeMontis Sabonis, Kyle Wilcher. When they weren't very deep last year off their bench, those guys never got in foul trouble. But Yoeli and Mika, they're so athletic, and they're so competitive, they want to make plays. But sometimes you got to understand, you got to rein in that competitiveness and make a smarter basketball play. Give up 2 points to stay in the game, and that's the most important thing.
Jackson, you faced a very familiar, I think something a lot of BYU players are going to face, and Utah players as well, situation after your college career where you could have pursued playing pro basketball, you could have gone and played overseas and probably made a little bit of money. You could have stayed and played in the D-League, though at that point D-League money was about $20,000. I think even today it's about $25,000. Next year with the new NBA salary cap, I think D-League salaries are going to spike considerably, up over $50,000, some as much as $80,000 to $100,000. Would that have changed your mind, and do you think that will change the mind of a guy like Eric Meeke? Even if he doesn't get drafted, he'll say, you know what, I might as explore playing professional basketball. Even if I don't make the NBA, I can stay stateside and make real cash.
Yeah, definitely helps from a D-League perspective. I mean, the D-League is kind of frowned upon just because they don't pay very much. And guys, most guys that stay in the D-League, it's because A, they don't want to go overseas and live in a different country, and B, they want to be around so if there's any call-ups, they have an opportunity. The NBA is not going to call guys from Europe, try to buy them out of contract. That's just not going to happen, but they will call them up in the D-League. So it will entice more players to stay here rather than jumping overseas, which will be good for NBA teams, which will also be good for the D-League teams. But I don't think, if you look at Eric Meeke and you look at what he needs to improve on in his game, he definitely needs to develop a jump shot. He's more of a four when it comes to the NBA. He's got to be a stretch four. He's got to hit the outside shot consistently. He's not going to be able to back down DeAndre Jordan, Rudy Gobert, and hook shot over them. It's just not going to happen. So he has to realize he has to hit 18 to 24-foot shots consistently. And the other thing you got to look at is where is he going to develop? It could be the D-League. Haven't seen guys develop drastically in the league there, but I think as better guys stay there, they'll get better coaches, better personnel to help them out. But I think guys will stay in college if they feel like they're not going to be drafted, just because if they want to win a championship, they want to be around guys. Something about being in that collegiate atmosphere. The guys in your locker room are your guys. They're your bros. They're your guys that you look after. When you go to the NBA or even the NFL, I mean, it's a meat factory, and those guys really aren't looking out for you for a little while. They're trying to earn a paycheck just like you, and it's a way different experience.
You can find him on Twitter at JacksonEmery04, former BYU player Jackson. Really great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jackson.
Hey, it's good seeing you, talking to you guys. Hopefully we'll see you soon.